Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Hating the Boss by Kristen Granata. Narrated by Nelson Hobbs and Stephanie Rose. Days left until summer break. 80. Jackson.
Yes, Jackson. Oh, God, yes.
See that woman? The one having the best orgasm of her life? That's my girl, Reagan. She's beautiful. Long blonde hair, striking green eyes, thick thighs, more than a handful tits. She's perfect. This moment is perfect. It's been a long time coming. Things weren't always this great. We had a bit of a rough start. I accused her of stealing my dead grandmother's ring. She swore she didn't. We waged war against each other for months. But all that's behind us now. I love you, Reagan. I whisper in her ear. I love you so much. She cups my face, gazing into my eyes.
I love you too.
It's my turn to pump my release, and when I'm done, I hold her in my arms. We're sated and relaxed, happy. For the first time in a long time, everything feels right. Reagan's stomach lets out a loud growl. I chuckle. I'll get our tacos. I plant a kiss on her forehead and roll out of bed. Life is crazy. A chance encounter can tilt your entire world on its axis. You can't always see the reason why things happen in the beginning. But eventually, it all clicks into place. Everything makes sense. One second, you're miserable. And the next, you're making post-sex tacos for your girlfriend on Valentine's Day with a goofy smile plastered on your face. I carry our plates into my bedroom, water bottles tucked under each of my elbows. Reagan's out of bed, hunched over my open dresser drawer. What's she looking for? My body stills when I glance down at the blue velvet box she's clutching in her hand.
No, it can't be.
What are you doing? Tears well in her eyes.
Jax, I can explain.
The plates slam as I drop them on top of the dresser. I yank the box from her fingers and flip open the top, staring at the sparkling ring in disbelief. See that guy? The one whose life just crumbled before his eyes? That's me, Jackson. Biggest chump in the fucking world. 6 months earlier.
Days left until school starts. 30. Reagan. Did you know there's an entire playlist on Spotify called Badass Slow Motion Walking Songs? Imagine that scene in a movie when a car or building explodes. Now picture the actor walking away from it in slow motion, flames roaring around him, smoke billowing into the atmosphere. He's totally unfazed by the fact that he could be hit by flying debris at any moment. Notice the song playing in the background? It's a rock song, lots of drums, and it amplifies the man's badassness as he leaves the fiery scene. That's how I envisioned myself leaving the courthouse on the day my divorce was finalized. I had the playlist ready to go on my phone and everything. Earbuds? Nope. I was going to blast that shit the whole way across the parking lot. But when the sun hits my face as I exit the courthouse, all I want to do is cry and take a nap, then cry some more. 7 years I'd been married. Might not seem long to people who've been together for decades, but it felt like an eternity for me. I tried to make it work. I gave and I compromised. I cooked. I cleaned. I gave him a blowjob every night. Every night. Don't tell me I wasn't dedicated. It didn't matter, though. No matter what I did, it wasn't good enough. Didn't change the fact that I was married to an asshole. In Andrew's defense, he didn't mean to be an asshole. His father is a controlling prick, so he didn't know any different. In the beginning, Andrew was sweet, doting. At least, I thought he was. I was young. Turns out you don't know much about love or what you stand for when you're 20. That's why they tell you not to get a tattoo until you're at least 25. They say your brain isn't fully equipped to make long-term decisions before then. And when I say they, I mean the proverbial they. You can hate them all you want, but they are always right. It took me a while to realize that what I once thought was caring was actually possessive. What I thought was confidence was just condescending. Don't get me wrong. Andrew wasn't the worst person I could have been with. He didn't beat me or anything. My mom says that's how you know something's wrong. You start downplaying your unhappiness and comparing it to domestic abuse. Sometimes, I'd wished he would hit me. Just once. At least then I wouldn't have felt so guilty about leaving him. That's sick. I realize that now. Needless to say, I wanted this divorce. I'd been the one who'd asked for it. I'd reached my breaking point. Now I know why people call it that. You bend so much that you eventually break in half. Two parts: who you once were and the angry, resentful person you've become. In the end, I gave him the house, the dog, my full bookcase, and all my Christmas decorations. Even my favorite sugar plum fairy ornament I'd had since I was a kid. I packed up the essentials and left everything else behind. That's how badly I wanted out. That, and the fact that I couldn't afford to fight him for any of it in court. So how come I'm not slow-mo walking to my car right now? I should be thrilled and relieved that this is over. I swing myself into my car, turn the key in the ignition, and crank up the air conditioning. As the stream of air cools my skin, I take a minute to scroll through my missed calls and texts. Becca:
congrats! You're a free woman now!
Mary: congratulations. It's all over now. Sammy:
woohoo! Moving on to brighter skies.
Andrea:
yes, queen! Single and ready to mingle.
Carrie:
ding dong, the dick is gone.
It's weird that everyone's congratulating me. It's even weirder when I think back to these same friends congratulating me on my wedding day. Should I feel proud of being a divorcee? I feel as if I'm wearing a scarlet D on my chest, like I should run and hide before people with pitchforks try to tar and feather me in the middle of town square. I don't think my small town in New Jersey has a town square, but still, it could happen. I click on Becca's name and lift the phone to my ear.
Hey, how'd everything go?
I sigh. It went fine. I'm just exhausted.
I'm sure. Why don't you go home and take a nap? Then you'll be recharged for tonight.
I don't think I'm feeling up to coming out tonight.
Oh, no. You are not getting out of this one. You can't sit home and mope around. You need to be with your friends. Your very excited friends who got babysitters to watch their asshole children for the night.
I slump forward and rest my forehead against the steering wheel. I don't feel like celebrating.
Then you can sit at the bar and cry into your mojito. You're coming out.
Fine. But it's your fault if the townspeople stone me to death.
What? Is this another one of your book references that I don't get?
Never mind. I'll see you tonight. Chucking my phone onto the seat beside my purse, I glance out the windshield just in time to catch my now ex-husband waltzing out of the courthouse. In the year it took us to get divorced, Andrew lost a good 10 pounds. I'd always tried to convince him to come running with me when we were married. "I only run if I'm being chased," was his response. Funny how he suddenly found the desire to get in shape once I was out of the picture. Bastard looks better than he did when we first met. I, on the other hand, found the 10 pounds he'd lost and tacked on another 5 for good measure. I'd lost my drive and stopped working out. I envy the people who stop eating when they're stressed. I'm an emotional eater. I eat my feelings. And unfortunately, they aren't fat-free. They taste a lot like Ben and Jerry's. I peel my eyes away from the man I used to love and back out of my parking spot.
Instead of leaving the courthouse to my Spotify playlist like a badass, I'm crying to Don Henley's Sometimes Love Just Ain't Enough. I am not going in there. Becca tugs on my elbow. Come on, she already spotted us. My bottom lip juts out. But there's balloons. I swear I told her not to get them. You know Carrie. The bouncer hands my license back and jerks his thumb toward the embarrassing scene that awaits me.
Those balloons are funny.
I glare at him. Good, you can have them. They're trying to be supportive and cheer you up, Becca says. We just want you to be happy again. I know, I know. I blow out a puff of air and lift my chin. All right, let's get this over with. We step inside the bar and I plaster a smile on my face. One thing my marriage taught me is how to hide my emotions from anyone and everyone. I've become so good at lying, even to myself, I could probably pass a lie detector test. I'd be a valuable asset if the CIA ever wanted me. My friends wave excitedly, dressed to the nines with hair and makeup on point. We are the epitome of women in their 30s. It's like we're stuck in limbo, too old to let loose the way we did in our 20s, but too young to feel content at home with a pair of knitting needles. I cringe as I gaze up at the six shimmery gold balloons, each of them broadcasting my humiliating news to the entire bar. I'm not with stupid anymore. Divorced AF. Ditched the dick. Unhitched. Just divorced. Legally single. To make matters worse, Carrie's holding a black sash. I don't know what it says yet, but I wonder if it'd be strong enough to act as a noose. Congrats, Mama. Carrie raises the sash above my head. I duck out of the way. I love you, Care, but I'm not putting that thing on. The balloons are more than enough. Her cheerful expression falls. Here. She shoves a mixed drink into my hand. Maybe you'll change your mind after a few of these. Mary, Andrea, and Sammy offer me smiles laced with pity. Oh, no, I say, waving my free hand. Don't look at me like that. It's done and over with. Let's just forget about it. How did it go today? Andrea asks. Quick and easy. If you ladies ever need to get divorced, the divorce center is the way to go. Good to know, Carrie says. I'll make that the new threat I throw at Brad the next time he decides to stay out late after work. He's still doing that? Don't want to talk about it. Carrie raises her glass. To Ray. Let's get you laid tonight. I shake my head, but drink to her toast anyway. What? She asks. The best way to get over someone. She just got divorced, Sammy says. Give her some time. I need to lose this weight first. I gesture to my stomach. I'm wearing a flowy top, but we've all seen the bulge underneath that's currently hanging over the waistband of my jeans. Oh, thank God, Carrie says, wiping her forehead for effect. I was hoping you weren't accepting this as your new physique. Mary and Becca swat each of Carrie's arms and exclaim her name in unison. It's okay, I say. We don't have to pretend like I haven't gained some weight. You should come kickboxing with me, Andrea says. I will definitely take you up on that. We've got 1 month until work starts in September, and I plan on walking through the doors of Roosevelt Elementary, a changed woman. Good for you, Becca says. Andrea's glass slams onto the bar. Speaking of work, did you read the board minutes? She pulls her phone from her cleavage and scrolls through it at lightning speed. Dr. Reynolds was let go. My eyes go wide. Our principal was fired? Are you serious? Mary snatches Andrea's phone and we huddle around it to read the email. Board minutes are like gossip columns in the education world. Salaries, firings, and retirings are emailed to every employee working for the Board of Ed. Good riddance. I've had enough of these female principals on a power trip, Carrie says. We need some testosterone in our school. Someone to scare all those little shits into behaving. Sammy shakes her head. It's going to take a lot more than a man in a suit to scare our students. Forget the kids, Mary says. We need to teach parents how to discipline their children. I'm tired of getting hit and then asked what I did to make the kid hit me. Amen to that. The six of us have been friends for as long as we've been teaching at Roosevelt Elementary School. We refer to ourselves as the Kindergarten Dream Team. Not every grade level in our building is as tight-knit as we are. Not every teacher pulls her own weight. But in our group, we're like a well-oiled machine. You need a good support system when you're battling a room full of five-year-olds. Teaching kindergarten isn't for the faint of heart. I shudder at the thought of going back to work with my maiden name. The looks, the whispers, the questions, all from coworkers who act like they care just because they want the gossip. At least I have 31 more days of summer bliss. I lean toward the bartender who's mixing a drink in front of us. Can we have a round of shots, please?
What's your poison?
He asks. Whatever's strong enough to help me forget about these balloons hovering over my head? He chuckles.
Got it.
Soon after we down our shots, the bartender pours us another round.
These are from those gentlemen over there.
All six of our heads swivel in the direction of the bartender's finger. Four smiling men raise their own shot glasses. What does this mean? Sammy asks. What do we do? Andrea pats her on the back and hands her a glass.
We do the shot, babe.
Won't they think we'll want to sleep with them if we do the shot?
They're men. They already think everyone wants to sleep with them.
Carrie lifts her chin and throws back the amber liquid. I wrap my arm around Sammy's tense shoulders. The bartender poured them right in front of us. No one's getting roofied. Now smile at the nice men and drink your free alcohol. They're coming over here. Carrie nudges me toward the front of our circle. You're single now. Go get 'em, tiger. I shoot daggers at her over my shoulder. On second thought, maybe that sash will come in handy. I could use it to strangle her instead of myself.
Do that thing,
Mary whispers, and the girls nod. I scan the men as they approach. The short one is the leader. He's the most muscular because he's overcompensating for his height. I say he's in finance. The tall, scrawny one looks like he's a doctor. He's the quiet type. The blonde knows he's good-looking, but he's not a douche about it. I say he's a personal trainer. My eyes land on the fourth man, lingering much longer than they did on his three friends. Tall, dark, and handsome doesn't quite do him justice. Thick, tousled hair, a clean-shaven, prominent jawline, broad shoulders. He's the only one in the group wearing a suit that looks like it's tailored perfectly to his body. You know when you can just tell a guy is fit underneath his clothes? The way his shirt stretches across his chest, the tapering at the waist. Yeah, that's him. Also, unlike his friends, who are surveying each of us to figure out which one they want to hit on, this one's eyes are zeroed in on me. He walks with a confident stride, lips curved into a flirty smirk. It's the look of a man who knows what he wants, and he expects to get it.
What about him?
Andrea asks. He looks like an executive of some sort. Definitely in a position of power. And judging by the fit of those pants, I'd put money on him having a fantastic ass. The girls burst into giggles just as the men arrive.
What are you ladies laughing about?
The short one asks. The leader always speaks first. Point for me. Oh, nothing, I say. Inside joke. Mr. Sexy in a suit shoves his hands into his pockets.
How much money would you put down?
My nose scrunches. What?
You said you'd bet that I have a fantastic ass. How much would you wager on that?
I clench my jaw to keep it from falling open. What do you, read lips?
I do,
he says with a cocky grin. I tap my finger against my chin as I make a show of assessing his body once more. I'd bet $50 I'm right.
That's a confident bet.
I'm a confident woman. At least I was, before 7 years of marriage stifled me. Mary rests her elbow on my shoulder.
$50 from each of you says my girl is right about everything else she said about you, too.
The men exchange glances before their pint-sized leader speaks for them.
You're on. Let's hear it.
I point to each of them. Doctor, finance, personal trainer. Their eyebrows lift as they dip into their wallets and place their cash in my hand. Mr. Sexy in a suit narrows his dark eyes.
And I'm just the guy with the nice ass.
That hasn't been proven yet, I remind him. But I'd say you run things at your job. The boss, like a CEO or something. A smirk tugs at his lips.
How'd you do that?
It's a gift. A weird gift that serves no purpose or utilizes any real talent.
I wouldn't say that. That was pretty impressive. Do you work for the FBI?
I lean closer to him and say, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. He laughs, revealing a set of perfect pearly whites. It's a stark contrast from his tan skin. I'd also like to note that his laugh is sexy. You don't realize how important a person's laugh is until you're on a date with someone whose laugh sounds like a dying mongoose. I hold my hand out, palm facing up. So, are you going to ante up?
I don't have cash on me, but I'd love to buy you and your friends another round.
I pretend to mull it over. Not sure that'll cover your debt. He dips down, closing the gap between us to position his lips at my ear.
I can come up with other ways to repay you.
Heat crawls up my neck and into my cheeks. This guy is used to getting his way. I'd bet girls throw themselves at him on the regular. I try to appear unaffected and hike a shoulder. I'll take another shot of whiskey to start. I peer up at him as the bartender takes his order. Everything about him is smooth. His skin, his voice, those lips. It's been so long since I've been kissed. I mean, really kissed. A hands in the hair, bodies wrapped around each other, all-consuming kiss. Somewhere along the line, the desire I'd had for Andrew turned into disgust. Resentment will do that to you. It trickles into your blood like a poison, slow at first, until it's coursing through your veins. It overrides every other feeling you have, making it impossible to see through the blurriness of anger and disappointment. I snap back to the present moment when a shot glass is handed to me. The stranger clinks his beer bottle against it and takes a long swig. His eyes flick up at the balloons.
Those for you?
I grimace at the reminder. Yep.
Sorry to hear that.
Everyone else seems to think congratulations are in order. He shakes his head.
Divorces are sad.
You wouldn't think so with how many couples were in the courtroom today.
Just because it's common doesn't make it any less tragic.
He's right. His honesty puts me at ease with this conversation. Either that or the whiskey is melting my reserve. I feel like a failure, I confess. Just another idiot who married the wrong person.
You're not an idiot. Everyone makes mistakes. At least you had good enough sense to correct it. Do you know how many people stay stuck in their mistakes?
I tilt my head to the side, turning his words over in my mind. That actually makes me feel a little better.
Just a little. Guess I'll have to keep trying.
My eyes bounce back and forth between his eyes, smiles tugging at both of our mouths. Flirting like this breathes some much-needed life into my lungs. I've missed this. Andrea pokes her head between us. Are you single? The sexy suit keeps his eyes fixed on me when he says,
I am. Wouldn't have come over here if I wasn't.
She fans herself with her glittery clutch. Sexy and a gentleman? He's just the guy you need tonight, Ray. She winks and bounces back to our friends. I'm about to apologize for my friend's forwardness when I realize something. Why should I apologize? Andrea is being herself. Nothing wrong with that. I'm sure this cocky man in a suit wouldn't think twice about apologizing for anything he says. I've apologized to Andrew enough to last me a lifetime, mostly for things I didn't need to apologize for in the first place.
So, what's Ray short for?
The sexy suit asks. Reagan, I extend my hand toward him. And you are? Jackson. When his large hand engulfs mine, goosebumps spread up my arm. He doesn't let go right away, his coffee-colored eyes penetrating mine. Black coffee. No cream or sugar. Just the rich, bold taste. Wouldn't I love a sip? It feels like forever since I've touched a holding hand that felt like this. It feels like forever since I've touched a holding hand, period. I didn't realize how starved I've been for affection until now. I wonder how his hands would feel on my body. I pull away before I start humping his leg like a dog. So, are you really a CEO?
Something like that. I actually got a promotion today, hence the suit.
Congratulations. Are we gonna dance or what? Carrie interrupts. I smile up at Jackson. My friends are heathens, as you can see. He laughs.
Dance with your friends. I'm not going anywhere.
I arch an eyebrow. Why? I want to ask. Why waste your time on me when you can have any girl in this place eating out of the palm of your hand? Carrie yanks me away from him before I can say anything, and I'm pulled into the middle of the dance floor. That man is fine! Andrea shouts over the music. Sammy nods eagerly. He looks really into you. Becca nudges me with her elbow. Did you get his number? The only thing I got was whiplash. Why did you pull me over here like that? We were in the middle of a conversation. Carrie rolls her eyes. You need to play hard to get. Make him work for it. Work for what?
You know what.
I shake my head. I can't go home with him. Why not? Mary asks. No harm in it if you're careful.
You wasted your 20s with ass face, Andrea says. You're getting a second chance now. Have fun. Let loose.
Have sex. Carrie wiggles her eyebrows. Sex with a stranger? Can I do that? I've only had sex while in monogamous relationships. Would I be able to bare my body to someone I don't know for one night? I look to Sammy for backup, but she shrugs. If you're going to have sex with a random, do it with that guy. I scoff. So much for being the goody two-shoes of our group. What? He's gorgeous. I laugh. That he is. Let's just dance and enjoy your kid-free night out.
Say it louder for the mamas in the back!
Andrea raises her arms overhead and gyrates her hips. We giggle and dance the night away in our impenetrable circle. I lose track of how many shots we down. It feels so good to enjoy myself without having to check the time. Andrew would get angry whenever I went out with the girls. Once 9 o'clock hit, he'd send text after text, demanding I come home. So I did. Disgust racks through my body. God, when did I become this passive, meek woman? No wonder I gained weight. I stopped taking care of myself, too busy catering to Andrew's wants and needs. What about my needs? Why did I allow them to take a back seat? Why did I let someone else dictate how my life should go? An explosion goes off within me. It's an awakening. Or maybe it's just the alcohol. Whatever it is, I know one thing for certain. Never again will I be the person I was in that marriage. From this moment on, I'm going to do the things I want to do, say the things I want to say, and I'm going to take the things I want to have. No apologies. No backing down. I'm going to live the life I want. I glance at Jackson, who's watching me from his stool at the bar. It's going to start tonight. Everything's about to change.
Jackson. She's seriously hot. Did you call dibs yet? Because if not, dibs. I shoot Dan a glare that reads, "Hands off, motherfucker." His hands raise on either side of his blonde head. Roger that. Sean jerks his thumb toward the balloons. Divorced chicks are awesome in bed. They've got all that pent-up frustration from being unhappy with their husbands for so long. Smith shakes his head. It's disturbing.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?